The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Hey, hey, podcast friends. This is Trina. I'm binging, listening to episode 12 right now. When the angel said, "Who do you think you are, Jade of all Jades?" That took me out because every episode of that podcast that she does has that siren in the background. So when she said that, it took me out. Anyway, great podcast. Love y'all.
Cool. Bank. Headshot. Sit down. Stand up. Bank. Pass out. Bank. Wake up. Bank. Baby. Bank. Wake up. Bank. Baby. Bank. Pull. Bank. Get shot. Sit down. Stand up. Bank. Pass out. Bank. Wake up. Bank. Baby. Bank. Wake up. Bank.
Hey, 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 hey. What's up? What's up? You are listening to the Bad and Boozy podcast. I am the co-host formerly known as So So Lovely.
Formerly.
Forever and always shall be known as Diddy Snack.
This bitch always surprising me with some shit.
If you watched that episode of the Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder crossover, and you uncorked TV, hashtag uncorked TV with us last night, you know exactly the scene that I'm referring to. So I'm your co-host. Sadiddy Snack, and I am joined by my other incredibly talented co-hostess with the mostest, D. Asia Ali. Say what's up, D.
What's up, what's up?
So, hopefully you're not listening to us by mere happenstance, but if you are, welcome to the party. We are a wine, liquor, shenanigans, foolishness, fooly wang podcast, all things Sophisticated Ratchet, and, we just out here, you know, doing the damn thing as far as podcasting is concerned. You are listening to episode number 18, y'all. We've been doing this thing. We done did this thing 18
yeah,
times.
It's 18 times. 18. Jesus Christ. 1, 2, 3, 4. Damn.
I know. We out here.
We're out here.
We thank y'all for listening. We couldn't do it without you. We appreciate y'all being on this ride. And, you know, we always like to open up. Well, first of all, let me apologize in advance for the smooth, melodic sounds of the rain in my background. Hopefully it doesn't soothe y'all ass right to sleep during our conversation. We're going to try and keep it lively for you.
Wake up.
Man, it's really nothing I can do about it. My mic is super sensitive, so it's going to pick that up.
Motherfucking Mother Nature, whatever.
It's Mother Nature.
At least it's rain.
At least so.
Rain is more comforting.
Yeah, so at least you know you're in for a good old sexy time with us today because it is dark, it is gloomy, it is raining, it is cuddle weather, it is pull up and Netflix and chill with your boo or somebody's boo weather. And you know what? We're just going to go ahead and jump right into uncorking our week. So, De'Asia, how was your week, boo?
Let me see. It was pretty good. Considering we, like, just recorded.
Man.
I won't repeat everything that I repeated on the other show. But I did have a surprising, this is Friday, our typical recording day. And I like to tell y'all my federal government shenanigans. We got an unexpected day off here in the DMV because it's like, apparently it's a storm popping off in the northeast part of the country. And we didn't really have no rain today, but we got hurricane force winds. Mm. And the motherfucking government said, oh no, we don't want them going into work. Because they can barely drive on a regular day. We don't need them all trying to stare on the highway when it's like 80-mile-an-hour winds or little kids get blown away at the bus stop or flying objects and shit. So when I woke up this morning, we got a good old notification that we were closed today. I goes back to sleep. My boss tried to play some ball-headed games, though, because my agency has like a telework thing in place where if you like ready to telework that... Even when the office is closed, you still got to work.
Mm-hmm.
But this Friday, I ain't been in the office since Wednesday. I left my computer because I planned to do things in the office to use the printer and stuff on Friday. This hoe calling me talking about, Dimitri, I have you as working. I wasn't sure. Where are you? I said, the federal operating status is closed. I'm in bed. It was like 10, apparently she called at like 10 o'clock, but I was sleeping in the answer. And I called her back at 10:30, and she was like, oh, I just need to see, you know, whether you get to use your admin leave or if you had to use your annual leave, because, you know, you typically, if you got a telework agreement, you got to telework. I said, well, how was I supposed to telework when I was on sick leave yesterday for doctor's appointments and I didn't have my computer? And it's not like a snow event where you can anticipate the snow and take your computer home.
Right.
Oh, if I can let you use the admin time, I'll let you use it. But let me figure it out. Mind you, my boss, she got hired not long before me. So it wasn't that long ago that she was an agent. She know the rules. Mm-hmm. Trying to act like she don't know. She know the damn rules.
She's trying to play better
because now she's a manager. She's trying to play. I wasn't going to be like, oh no, go ahead and take the leave. No, I wasn't going to say that. I said, well, just let me know. And my thing was, if she came back and said some bullshit, I was going to go right to the union, like, excuse me. and she had a nerve to go, because your situation is unique. No, it's not unique. All my coworkers are agents that work in the building. Our location ain't the same. So it could happen to any one of us. It's not unique. It can happen to any of us.
Right.
Then she called me about 10 minutes later and was like, oh, yeah, I just changed the time to reflect the building time. And I was like, thank you. That's what you were supposed to do in the first place. Like, I knew what it was. She's like, she goes, because you weren't afforded the opportunity to potentially telework. I was like, yeah, duh. That's what I was telling you. Like, it's not like I went to sleep the night before after live tweeting scandal, fully anticipating waking up and going to the office this morning. I didn't know it was going to be a random windstorm.
Right.
We didn't know that last night. I didn't know that Wednesday when I left work. And she was like, okay. And I was like, nobody got time for that. But I did use the unexpected day off. I had some wine left over from our TGIT Uncorked TV shenanigans. And I just drank some wine for lunch, for breakfast. Whatever, all the meals. and just before we started recording, on the last episode when I mentioned meeting one of the friends, Bourbons and Bubbles, she legit was like, oh, I'm coming from wine school and I wanted to... she said, I'm not opposed to sharing this bottle. And I was like, sure, come over. So I probably review it next week, but she just brought like this really cute Brut Rosé over, and it was really good. It's a like one of the restaurants she worked at, like, just gave her the bottle, and I'm like, oh yeah. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm here for the random shenanigans, and I realized how close she lives. I'm like, you can come over, we can hang out anytime if we drinking. Hey. I cook. You bring the free liquor.
You bring the liquor. I got the food, and we just gonna do what it do.
Yeah, we discussed a little bit about a future episode where she could tell us more about the wine and spirits and trust education process, because she's in the classes now. Hey. So I think that'd be cute in the future.
That sounds really cute.
But where's you been doing in the last 2 days since I talked to you?
Well, wine hoes. Actually took yesterday off for a mental health day because I was just feeling so overwhelmed.
That's so necessary. Yeah. That's so necessary.
So
use y'all sick leave and y'all days off.
Use them. Don't save them, because so many people pass away and then they're not able to use that time. And then, you know, if they're alone and they don't have a beneficiary, all that time just is wasted. So use your time, man. You never know when you're gonna need it, but use it accordingly. If you're not feeling well, if you're not feeling well in the morning, 9 times out of 10 when you get to work, that ain't gonna change, because all the people at work just gonna aggravate it. So I already knew, based on how my day was on Monday, that I was just gonna go ahead and take off on Thursday and just have a 4-day weekend, because it was just one of them kind of days. But yeah, I just didn't do
just one of them days.
Yep. I didn't do anything I didn't want to do. I actually got caught up on This Is Us. I got me a good cry.
I've been enjoying some of your random messages to me about the show.
Man, I had a few good cries on yesterday, but that Super Bowl episode, oh, I was shaking crying.
You caught up to the current time yet?
I'm one episode behind, so yeah. But
oh, man. No, well, did you do episode and the car episode? So you 2 episodes behind, because okay. But you're not that far.
I'm in the middle of that car episode, so.
Okay. Because yeah. That's when they got us with the, oh, we're going to give y'all episode at the Super Bowl, and we still will give y'all Tuesday's episode. I said, oh, hold up. This is a bit.
I need some space.
Like, woo. Yeah, then they say, oh, we'll take a break for the Olympics and then come back. I said, they petty, but bastards. It was cool.
Bastards. Yeah, but yeah, that's what I did. And then today, because I'm in the midst of getting a promotion and had to go to my future employer and fill out a whole bunch of paperwork. I didn't even get live scanned. Man, I thought I was going to get live scanned today. They were like, no, it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks to process. I didn't
even know what the fuck that was when you said live scan.
I know. Oh, sorry, guys. If you don't know what a live scan is, that's when they fingerprint you. So I'm supposed to be getting fingerprinted soon.
But why it take so long just to do that?
What they said is, based on the information that they provided, they do like a thorough investigation with this part of the government agency to make sure.
First.
Yeah, to make sure that you don't have any fraud or anything like that. And then somebody from their human resources comes to the department that I work at, pulls my person. Girl, all that crunching. Pulls my personnel.
I ain't crunching on you. That was the bag. I didn't know you could hear it. My bad.
Pulls my personnel jacket and like reviews it and makes sure there aren't any inaccuracies between what I gave them and what's in my file. And then based on that information, then they'll proceed with the fingerprinting, aka the live scanning, aka the biometrics. So yeah, I had to do that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
My job did everything the opposite. Like I took like a photo and fingerprints long before they did the full background investigation.
But you know what's funny? When I first got hired by the government agency that I work for, this department was actually the department that hired me. And I turned it down to go to another department. But the process back then was totally different from what it was now. I was like, oh, so y'all got some structure. Okay, because when I first got hired, it was
y'all
funny.
Y'all weren't doing all that.
No, they weren't. They just said, okay, come in. We need. It was literally come in for an interview. I came in for an interview. I interviewed with 3 different people. They had me fill out paperwork. Then they had me take a picture. And then, like, a week later, they told me, okay, you're hired, and this is when you start. And I was like, what?
That's what we're doing?
Yeah, so this process is a lot longer. But it's, you know what? It gives me some time just to mellow out. And I'm trying not to be in a rush about it because I interviewed in January, y'all. And here we are in March. And then
When you get to get your 2 weeks notice?
That's what I'm saying. But the first paper they had you sign was, this is not an offer of employment. We are not telling you to quit your job and come work over here. I was like, okay, fine.
That's hilarious.
It was. I was like, okay, so pretty much I can't give no notice no time soon until I get a actual written documentation that says this is where I'm going to be working, this is my position, and this is my salary. Because I need to know.
A formal job offer.
I need to know what them coins is looking like.
I need to know them coins.
Even though this promotion is like 4 classes above my current position, the money really isn't that different on paper because what I'm making now is at the bottom end of the range for the position that I'm going up for. So, so they're going to have to, the way that it works is they calculate, because I'm on a higher step in my current position, so they have to put me on a higher step in that position and
Girl,
do some math.
You talking a language I understand, because it's a similar thing with the federal government.
Why y'all gotta do all this stuff? All I know is, pay me. And I know that secretaries, but the people with the highest amount of steps, meaning the pay increases until they don't increase your pay anymore, and you just get a cost of living differential. Nurses get 23 steps. So you can, yeah. The position that I started with this agency only had 5 steps. So literally, if you didn't get promoted within 5 years, your salary is just maxed out and you just got a cost of living increase. You wasn't getting no like super big raise at the end of the year. Girl, there's people that's been in the same position for like 12 years, 15 years, 20 years that can't pass the test to promote.
I know. Shit like that be happening around here in the federal government, not I.
I've been there 5 years and got 3 promotions. I'm like, what is y'all doing with your lives?
Get your life together.
Anyway, that's it for my court. I do want to tell y'all, because I took the train today. I used to take the train all the time. I have literally not taken... I did take one train ride this recently, but we're not going to talk about that.
Is it the same kind of train ride I took this week?
No.
Just asking.
No, it's very similar, but it's not that kind of train ride. So, I have not been on a train in 3 years. If you live in LA, you know the Red Line is absolutely disgusting. It's nasty. It smells like urine. It's always somebody acting crazy on the train. And today, like I was saying, I haven't ridden the train in 3 years. But today, I witnessed a man fall in between the train and the train platform. I had another man fall on me. I got on one train and it smelled like, straight like urine.
Hold up, you had somebody fall on you?
Yeah, I had a dude fall on
me. Did I miss that?
Yeah, the train was pulling off and he just went backwards and fell right in. I'm sitting down and he's standing up. He fell right on me. And then I smelled straight urine on the train. I missed another train. And then I saw a lady cussing out a man because the man asked the woman something in Spanish. She didn't speak Spanish. He got mad. And she said, you know what? Fuck off. Go fuck yourself. I was like, well, y'all see, not much has changed. So, yeah, you know what? You got to love public transportation, man. It is never a dull moment.
It's very entertaining.
Yeah, I might have to revive my blog. I used to write about my experiences on the Red Line, so I might have to dig that back up and start chronicling it again. So,
Misadventures of So-So on the train.
Yes, it's actually memoirs of the Red Line. So, yeah, but that
it's
is my
funny. We have a Red Line here in the district.
Mm-hmm.
Shit goes down there too.
I believe it. Anytime it's red is involved, red is danger. Danger! Watch yourself.
Danger!
Get on the float! The nigga right here. Oh, he canceled too. Come on.
He canceled. Damn.
We can't have nothing.
Man, canceled.
Man, I need y'all to get it together so we can sing y'all song. We just can't sing no song, man. All the way. But yeah, that was my week. So, y'all know that we love to follow up our Uncorked with our reviews, which we call sip or spit.
So I always try to hold in my laugh when she said it because I'll be ready.
So, Dee, we want to tell the lovely people what you are reviewing today.
Yes. So, my review today is actually a good old girlfriend that I'm very familiar with. So I can tell you off the jump that it is a sip for me. But when we decided to live tweet the scandal, how to get away with murder crossover, and I looked for some wine to drink while I was watching it, I felt like I wanted something familiar, a nice little hug and whatever. So when I was looking in the store, I came across this Jeunesse, and now it's a Cabernet, and based on all the things we've discussed about Cabernet Sauvignon and the things that you guys are probably most familiar with, Cabernet doesn't typically tend to be sweet, but it can be. So this Jeunesse, and that's Jeunesse, is a semi-sweet California Cabernet. The one I had, the vintage, was 2014, and I remember just stumbling upon it maybe, I don't know, 2012, 13. And I just looked for a Cabernet, and a guy at the wine shop recommended it, and I took it home, and I was like, oh, that was like my first realization that, oh, like a cab can be semi-sweet but not like too overpowering. So I got it last night to watch with the Return of Shondaland. And it was very, like, I don't think I've had it in maybe, like, 2 years. But the first thing I noticed is that I've been paying a little bit more attention to the colors and shit. And it was, like, this really, like, deep ruby color. Like, I was just pouring it in the glass, like, oh, this is pretty. Hmm. And it was, like, really floral. And it had, like, berry notes. It tasted, like, really young and fresh. It was, like, I think it also kind of worked out because, just like yourself, we're trying to be a little bit more focused as of March the 1st on our diet. So I'm not eating any sweets right now. So it kind of like gave me the, now when I say I ain't eating no sweets, but we're not counting wine. So it kind of gave me like that, we ain't counting wine. So it kind of gave me that, like that little, sometimes when I'm like cutting sugar and sweets and stuff like that, I might like eat a little piece of dark chocolate at the end of the day just to satisfy that sweet tooth. And this wine gave me like a nice little sweet hit in the spot. I was like, all right, so I'm cutting sweets elsewhere, but I can have this nice little glass. But yeah, the Jeunesse, it was really cute. I would definitely recommend it. It was like, it was just like really berry. Y'all know, I don't like it was, I don't like super, super sweet. So it was like that nice smooth, and it was really smooth. It was really smooth. So if you're looking for like, if you like cabs and if you're similar to me where you're here for sweet, but not all the time, this would be a cute venture into sweet without going too far off your regular path. And it was very, I thought it was very festive because you know how like you eat like cake or sweet stuff for a celebration?
Yeah.
And I felt like this Shondaland crossover was a celebration. So it seemed like it not only did the taste was good, it fit the mood. And I probably drank about half the bottle while I was live tweeting yesterday, but it was fun. It was good. And then since we had this unexpected day off today, I drank the rest for breakfast or brunch, whatever you want to call it. Hey. It was my first meal of the day. I've been in the house all day, so I didn't care. But yeah, and I did add that to my delectable. What was the vineyard? It was like Baron Herzog Vineyard in California. I probably should read more about the vineyard, but like I said, this was a good old girlfriend. So I encourage you all to dig a little deeper or maybe look for it yourselves, or if you're following me on Delectable, to check it out. And this is probably one of the higher ratings that I put. And I think I put like on Delectable. It's a sip as far as the podcast is concerned. As far as Delectable, I put it as like a 9.6 because... If I put a sweet wine that high, it's like, it's really good.
That's a very good girlfriend.
I was like, yeah, this is my... And I kind of like the idea of drinking something and then revisiting it. And I'm like, I still feel the same way about it. So, yeah, I really like it. So, that's my review for the week.
That's good. That's good. Well, y'all, my review for this week is going to be... It's also a red... It is a wine that I have never had before. I decided to get a Zinfandel, even though I've been looking for a Zinfandel for weeks.
This is your first Zinfandel?
This is my first Zinfandel.
Okay, I'm excited.
I've had white Zinfandel, but as we learned before, you know, that's just nothing. That's nothing but a little bit of rosé, yeah. You know what I'm talking about? So...
Oh, I didn't realize this was your first one. Now yeah. I'm even more excited.
And it's an old vine Zin, so you know.
I like the old one.
Yeah.
The one I'm familiar with is like Seven Deadly Zins. Mm-hmm. Is a good one.
So what I got today is, you know, y'all know I love the brand Gnarly Head. That is my... That's a dependable, reliable okay. brand. So
I couldn't remember whether I was like somebody didn't like Gnarly Head. I couldn't remember if you liked it or you didn't like it. I can't remember what was the thing, but it was sticking in my head for a reason.
No, I like
but
it.
You like
yeah. It is a okay. It's an old vine Zin, as I said. It's a Lodi Zinfandel. The vintage is 2015, and let me read y'all their description and I'll tell you what I thought of it. It says, "Here's to the vines and to a life lived boldly. These heroic old vines produce intense fruit flavors and deeply concentrated wine, matched only by the passions of the people who drink them." Gnarly Head Old Vine Zinfandel is an adventurous, soulful choice, delivering a rich core of dark berry fruit, wild spice, vanilla, and lightly toasted oak. Enjoy solo or paired with barbecue ribs, steak fajitas, or hearty beef chili. And when I read that, I was like, okay, it's cold, it's rainy. I was like, yes, I could get into all of this. I feel this in my spirit, in my D voice. So so I went ahead and I popped it open. You know, I also put it in my Olivia Pope glass.
Yeah, I was drinking mine out of my glass last night too.
And what stuck out to me, and I text D immediately, and I was like, "Bitch, this thing is 14.5% alcohol." Oh my god!
And I co-signed that because I never had a I don't think I've had a Zinfandel that was lower than 14%.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure the old old Zen or that no, the Seven Deadly Sins ones might be something like 18, and I was like, whoa,
man, that's 36 proof. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, I went ahead and I poured it and I sniffed it, and the first thing that I did definitely smell like some berries, some cherries. I smelled depth and darkness. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
That's a definitely good way to describe a Zinfandel.
So when I tasted it, the first thing I was like, this is good. It's not really sweet. It's not sweet, but it does have that fruity flavor. I do definitely detect the berries. I detect like cherries. There is a hint of oakiness in it. There is a subtle bit of spice. The finish is mild. It is a really good drink. It feels smooth on the palate. It's not, I wouldn't call it a BBW because she's not really juicy like that, but she thick nonetheless. She's not slim thick, she thick. She's thick, you know, and I appreciate that. And she is strong.
No, she be strong.
She is strong. So when I was thinking of it, I was thinking of this lady that I follow on Instagram, Anawa Aja. You probably follow her too. She calls herself the Nigerian powerhouse. And she's a personal trainer, and she's like over 200 pounds, but she's really thick. She's really she's really muscular, and she's built. So this is what it makes me think of, because it's strong, it's dark, it's powerful.
That's a great description. It is succulent.
And I'm like, you know what? This is some Nigerian wine, y'all.
So it's funny, because it's like, I would say it's total opposite of mine, because mine's like a little juicy, but she might got a little bubble butt. Like, she might be a little thin.
Bubble butt.
She juicy, but she not that strong.
Yes. I'm like, yes, this is a solid dark wine. And I appreciate it because y'all know I like that
not
juice.
Not only do I appreciate it, I'm so happy that you actually like it.
I do. I will definitely be buying this again. It is a sip. Gnarly Head has not steered me wrong yet. Not at all.
I gotta look for the Gnarly Head.
Yeah, you do. And you know what? It was only $9.99 for the Zinfandel.
Oh, that's good.
It was on the second to the top shelf, so I felt good about buying it. Yeah, girl.
But that kind of remind me of that the 19 Crimes people that I did before. They had a good little sip, and everything was like $8.99, $9.99. I was like, y'all in my budget, and this is good.
Yeah. You know what? You don't always have to spend $20 to get a good quality wine. This is very good. It says
be on a budget.
Yeah, man. And it says that it has hints of vanilla. I don't really taste it, even though I have been tasting vanilla like in the last 24 hours because I made a chia pudding with vanilla in it. I don't really taste it, but that's just me. Maybe because it's already overwhelming in my, you know, recently in my system. But I definitely detect everything else that they mention in it. It is like a light oaky flavor. It's not too intense. It's not overpowering or overbearing. Everything about it is very pleasant. It's not subtle either, but it's not too strong. It's just enough. It's just enough. And I appreciate everything about it. It does have a full mouth feel, so I feel it all over my taste receptors. I mean, dare I say, it gives me an umami experience. But it's very good, y'all. I mean, I go up for this. Like, I would definitely make it a purpose to have this again. Dare I say, I add it into my regular rotation.
Oh, that's a good old sip then.
This is top five. This is top five.
This is good. Now I definitely want to try that Gnarly Head.
Yeah, it is really good. I recommend that you guys go ahead and do that. I will also be rating it very high on my list.
And y'all know I stay, until you like describe your wine, I always remember something that I forgot about mine. And that's probably because I didn't have the, I was just talking off of my notes and not off of the bottle. But one thing I did, I think I texted you yesterday when I was drinking it, and I said, oh, bitch, this wine is kosher. Y'all had this for Passover. And then when I read the bottle, I looked on the website, and it told me a little bit about, I definitely encourage you sometimes if the vineyard is like telling you more about the family and how they got started and stuff. So I was like, oh, they Jewish and they was looking for some shit, blah, 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 blah. And so this is Herzog Wine Cellars. And it's a lot of cool information about how the winery started. But one thing I wanted to add that was on the bottle itself was that it was, as you start to taste, you mentioned yours being like oaky or whatever. And sometimes as you tasting it, you can kind of taste what kind of barrel it was fermented in. And this one, definitely you can tell it's a wine. And it said it exhibits exceptional characteristics. And they said they cold fermented ripe grapes in exclusively stainless steel tanks. And I think that kind of adds to like the freshness and youngness that I was tasting. And I didn't realize that Jeunesse is, it says, hence, you will enjoy a wine that is pointedly Jeunesse, French for youthful, flavorful, and fun. I never paid that any attention before I drank it, but that describes it perfectly. I didn't drink mine chilled, but it probably would taste really good, slightly chilled. I like the, it was just room temperature. But it's that, so I was like, oh shit, I didn't even realize that's what the damn word meant, but that's exactly what I was thinking, like young, flavorful, and it's kosher and shit. So when we was looking at stuff for Al, Jewish homies, y'all can have this.
Lahain. But you know,
this particular winery makes kosher and non-kosher wines, but they have a special way of making them taste the same.
Cool. You mentioned young, and I mentioned that this is old, but I just wanted to take a quick shout out to our friend Anissa, the co-host of Two Black Millennials podcast, because I imagine this wine is what your daddy tastes like.
Jesus, that how is about so that? Accurate. How
about tell that? Your fine ass daddy, I said,
So you got her daddy, and this probably is her. I got her wine.
I know, right? But you know what's funny? When I was actually at the checkout stand getting this wine, I happened to look behind me, and there was an older black gentleman there, and he had a red blend, and it was Smoking Loon. And like, I keep looking at the Smoking Loon brand, like maybe I'm gonna try it, maybe I always never try it. But I saw that he had it, and you know what? I could say he was a zaddy, because he had a little sex appeal going on. He was like in his late 40s, early 50s.
Sometimes zaddies be knowing.
And you know what? He had that bottle. I said, you know what? I might have to try that next time. So you know what? Shout out to them uncles and them zaddies, man. Y'all know how to pick some wine.
The old uncle at Harris Teeter told me which chicken to get last week. I'm sure they might know about the wine.
Man.
And mine was, 12%? It wasn't a strong 14, but it was cute. Mm-hmm. And I think this bottle was, it's a little more, it was about like, I think it was like $13.
Yeah.
But it's well worth it, so whatever.
Yeah.
It was in our budget range.
Yeah. And shout out to the fact that our wine purchases were sponsored by our wine hoe this week.
Yes!
We mentioned it on the last podcast, but we actually went out and bought it. So
we went out and bought that wine. Shout out to anybody who put some respect on the wine purchases.
Yes. So our individual wine was sponsored by our wine hoe, but this segment, Sip or Spit, this week is sponsored by the wonderful people over at Wink. So allow me to introduce you to the wonders of Wink.
What could be sweeter than you? I would rap or just sing on. It took me a while, now I'm getting my swing on.
Icarus in increments. Sometimes I put wings on. Every hero ain't a hero till as a theme song. So many tries, but every time it just sing wrong. Saturday night, just kicking it with my best man. Looked at my left hand, I got a ring on. Oh shit. How did we get here? Started with a kiss, then another kiss, then another kiss, then a covered dish with white rice, greens, and smothered fish. I'm lying, it was just chicken. Niggas was thugging it. Now we got a covenant. It's on a bond for life. In all my years, this was the easiest song to write. It's my confession in the rhyme, a testament, and I just want to do my thing. As I talk about a feeling that cannot be explained, or a love that cannot be contained in a measurement of time. Some say it was a blessing in disguise. Scratch that, girl, you a lesson from the skies, and I thank God for my winnings. That's word to life, Jennings. Finally letting go of the mistakes of my 20s. I admit that I'm not an easy sell, but I'm the PD to your Chiwa tail. Your big boy to tell them bitches pay your people bill. My nigga be for real, swore I wouldn't do it again. My man said that'll change. First time is all about working through your baggage. Second time around, it's all about the baggage claim. Thank your maker, stack your paper with a real one. Major key, clavinet, lead a mother hoes on read like clarinets. Gorgeous, no wrongs in this love song I wrote for us. Wedding play all day with no chorus. Let's ride. This goes out to you.
Wink is a world of wine delivered right to your door. From Rosé to Cabernet to Torontés, Wink has over 100 styles of wine to discover. Ever try an orange wine? Wink connects you to a world of exclusive wines tailored to your taste and delivered directly to your door. Wink delivers 4 bottles of wine to you every month with free shipping. You can pick your own bottles or let Wink choose and match to your taste. It doesn't cost a thing to become a member, and you can skip or cancel at any time. And now, the listeners of Bad and Boozy Podcast can enjoy an exclusive discount of $20 off your first order. To place your first order with $20 off and to help keep our show free for you, go to our network website at cspn.us/wink. That's cspn.us/WINC. Wink wines through CSPN. Do it today. All right, y'all. And
yes, I've just been on a budget, but I'm getting my wink box for March.
Hey.
And I realized I was able to, when I was looking at how much I realized I had like 2 credits. So my little regular 4 bottles that normally would be more, only going to be like 30 something. I said, oh yeah, give me that. Go ahead and let that, go ahead and ship that.
Yes. Yes. I support that. You know, speaking of wine, since this is a wine podcast, the show topic that we have of this week is something that we touched on a few weeks ago, and what did we call it? Because I feel like I'm calling it something different than what the show notes actually said.
Evaluating a wine is how we described it on the show before.
So what we're going to do is we're going to give you some tips and advice on how to properly evaluate your wine. And so evaluating wine is when you're really, you're not just drinking it just to drink it. You're actually smelling.
Cause you know niggas be fast.
Yeah, cause you know you just pour it in the bottle and you just throw it back. No, you're not taking shots. No, you're not taking it to the head. You're really taking the time to get to know the wine, to get to know the terminology, to smell it, to taste it, to swirl it. All the stuff that is involved in properly evaluating wine. Excuse me. We're going to give you those lessons so that when you are drinking wine in your personal time, that you know how to do it properly, as well as if you're going out to, let's say, a wine tasting or a wine event, you're not out there looking crazy. You actually look like you know what you're doing. So we're preparing you in advance, you know what I'm saying? So that you can think back and be like, you know, what did the 2 crazy chicks on that podcast say? Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So that, and also so that when you see people doing it, you know why they're doing it. Because, you know, the first time I went wine tasting, I'm like, why are these fools just drinking? What is he doing? What is that? Like, what? You know, I'm thinking they look crazy and they're looking at me thinking I look crazy. So now we can even and level the playing field for y'all, okay?
That's our goal. Level yep. playing field.
So there are four different areas which we're going to touch on, and we're going to go back and forth. We're going to tag team back again. Mm-hmm. And so, Dee, you want to tell the people what the four areas we're going to concentrate on today are?
So I have them over here as the look, the swirl, the sniff, and the sip.
The you swirl. The swirl is how I have my
That's
son.
How you got pregnant?
That's how I got pregnant, is that swirl.
See, listen. Y'all watch out for the swirl, though, beloved. unless you're trying to get, you know what I'm saying, unless you're trying to get pregnant. We waiting for somebody to name that kid Carmen Yair after us, you know what I'm saying? we waiting. But the look, a little, if we go by the book I have, is like a little introduction. Basically, evaluating the wine had those four steps that we described. And each step gives you information that can inform you on not only what to expect, but it can also inform you to what food you should serve with it. And tasting wine, just like tasting food, in my opinion, begins with your eyes. Mm-hmm. I always tell people I eat with my eyes first. So if I don't like the way it looked, then I might not be that interested in it. Right. Not that you can't get past it, but the look is important. Not only is it important, sometimes it's just interesting because I be noticing like the difference in like colors when I'm pouring the wine, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty. And earlier in previous shows, we kind of talked about wine tasting as a whole experience. So I definitely would emphasize the look as far as part of the whole experience. So just looking at wine can tell you a lot about what to expect. For example, wines from hot climates generally have a deeper color than wines from cool climates. Older wines usually have a less intense color than young wines. But looking is, of course, you know, not the only way. We have the other three options: swirling, smelling, and tasting. And that may or may not contradict what you saw at first. So we got to consider all four steps together. And your sense of smell plays a more important part in your perception of a wine than your sense of taste, which I can kind of see. I don't know about y'all, like if you ever smelt some food that totally was just like gross, it really like might have overpowered the actual taste of the food. Professional wine critics have a special vocabulary for wine aromas and flavors, but like the ladies of Bad Boozy, do not worry if you don't detect the same smells and flavors as other people.
Right.
What's most important is what the fuck you smell mm-hmm. and what you taste. So even if we're describing wines and we're telling how we feel, or you add a wine tasting, whether it's like a big function or a smaller, more intimate one, if you don't agree with nobody else, go by what you feel and then compare it to, you know what I'm saying, like compare and contrast to your own experiences. So the look, we describe like pouring the wine into what we called it, the bowl.
Yes, the bowl.
I'm trying to like recall out proper terminology. Hold the glass by the stem in order to have the bowl free of smudges, fingerprints, and stuff on the bowl. Hold the glass against a white background, such as your napkin or a clean piece of paper, so you can see right through at the wine. Now, I never paid that much attention until I read about it, and I think I somewhat kind of do that without noticing, because in my kitchen, the way I tend to pour, I normally end up pouring my wine right at this one spot on the white part of the countertop, but pouring it with a napkin or a clear piece of paper in the background will help you kind of peer through and get a true idea of the wine's color versus like if you're out or if you got dark color or dark furniture. When you're looking through, you don't get the real color. The appearance will vary, but in general, a white wine should be transparent and bright, and a red wine should be translucent and brilliant. Mm-hmm. So that's as far as the look. You going next one, I'm going next one.
Well, I'll just piggyback on that. For the look,
okay.
I have pretty much the same notes. I also have that for intensity, you want to, well, it says for intensity, you want to observe the wine from the rim to the middle.
Okay.
You will see a small difference in the color and the clarity of the wine based on several factors, including variety, production, and age. Mm-hmm. It also mentions wine tears, or as we like to call them, legs. And that's a phenomenon called the Marangoni.
Legs.
Yeah. And that's a phenomenon called the Marangoni effect. And that's caused by fluid surface tension. What that means is that the slow-moving tears indicate a higher alcohol level. But keep in mind that a higher alcohol level does not signify quality. So you can have a low quality wine with a high alcohol content and be fooled.
That's good to know.
Yeah. And then as far as color, it talks about how your white wine can go from clear to deep gold. And like you said, it depends on climate and also aging. Then for the red wines, it could go from a paler color, like a pale garnet, which has less pigment and a higher acidity, to a blue-violet tint and a lower acidity. So that can tell you something as well. So if it's a brighter color, the acidity is higher. And if it's a lower color, it's going to have a lower acidity. So I'm looking for the dark skin.
I was about to say that kind of plays into previous reviews when she don't like the citrusy ones. So that can kind of give her a hint to stuff that's like more acidic.
yep. So I'm on the lookout. I was even over
but
here.
But you know, we like them dark skin hoes.
Yes. well, you know,
they juicy. I mean we in Wakanda, so we good.
Yeah, we in. We
good. Us and our wine gonna make it.
Right. So that's all I have for look. And what's next, swirl?
So mine is like the swirl. It kind of it's kind of like a connector between like that and the smell, the sniff. So swirl says, and it's funny because I'm sure all of us who at one point in time, if you knew nothing about wine, one of your first things you thought about wine was like, why the fuck was these niggas swirling the glass around?
Yeah.
Now I'm one of the niggas that's swirling the glass around, and my people looking at me like, what is she doing? But swirling. Next, holding the stem of the glass, swirl the wine carefully. It introduces oxygen into the wine, which helps release its essential aromas. In some wines, you can notice distinct tracks left on the side of the glass, which we talked about before, called legs, which are caused by the alcohol in the wine. Wines with a high alcohol content will show pronounced legs that will linger on the side of the glass. Wines with a low percentage of alcohol will show faint legs that dissipate quickly. So the look and the swirl can tell you a bunch of things. And as far as introducing oxygen, maybe you don't have an aerator, as we discussed before, or you didn't like let it sit for a minute. So you just kind of swirl it around a little bit to kind of like open it up, you know, because you guys think about like, whatever bottle you had, it been sitting there corked up and just all bottled up, and now it's out in the glass, and this shit want to breathe. Okay, you know, so you swirl it and let it breathe a little bit. Mm-hmm. And after that, anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, my book says swirl the wine to see the viscosity. And so I know you're probably thinking
that. I forgot what that means. I heard that before. Yeah.
Well, I looked it up, and you know what? How we talk about wine terms sound nasty. Viscosity is the state of being thick, sticky, and semi-fluid in consistency due to internal friction. Synonyms are thickness, gooiness, and viscidity. So the
hold up, you just described this.
Viscous wines have a higher alcohol content or residual sugar. So when you see that they have legs, it's a high viscous or a high viscosity in the wine. So that means it's a thick
junk. Alcohol or high sugar. Well, that makes sense because a lot of if you get like I've had Rieslings at place who like the Riesling is like a higher sugar content, and they might serve it in one of those. It might not be a typical bottle. It might be like this real skinny bottle, but it's more expensive. But it's because even though it's more that residual sugar, it's also high in alcohol. So they'd be like charging you more, which makes sense. But, viscous.
Viscosity.
Viscosity
describes this might be thickness. One of the most that girth, baby.
Is that girth?
Is it a safari wine or not?
Is it a safari? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Ooh. Like, ooh.
Mm. Yep. So that's all I got for swirl.
How we get hot and heated talking about the wine? This is good.
Because it's high alcohol content, baby.
That's how they do. You know what? Set the mood. Turn down the lights. Hey. So the next is the sniff. Sniff, smell, however you want to call it. So now put your nose over the rim of the glass. Ooh. And inhale long and deep through your nose.
Ooh, long and deep?
Long and deep. Are you preparing the...
No, hello? No, never mind. Have I asked for consent yet? Did I get consent?
This is sexual.
Excuse me. Really, do you mind if I inhale long and deep?
Like you're preparing your body. Really expand your nostrils to take in the smell. Try to think what memory you associate with the smell. Hold up, I didn't even look up this word. Olfactory memories are some of the strongest we have. What that word mean? I forgot what that word mean. Girl, you see the olfactory. You may want to repeat this process several times. I do that often. Like, I'll smell and then sniff and then smell and then sniff. Olfactory. Let's see what that mean.
Olfactory? No, I'm just joking.
I love fancy words that mean simple shit. So basically any memories that you associate with smell. Mm-hmm. So olfactory means relating to your sense of smell, which that's a good word because you ever smell something or like something that's nostalgic, but it kind of reminds you of like your childhood or something like that.
Like macaroni and cheese reminds me of my grandmother. Mm-hmm. Apple pie reminds me of my mom. So those things that remind you of things, that's the olfactory sense.
Yeah, or like one for me probably would be like, I don't do a lot of fried foods, but sometimes like a pork chop or something, it just made me think about like football Sundays cooking with my mama. Mm-hmm. But olfactory memories are some of the strongest we have, and I can definitely see that. And you may have to repeat this process several times. Younger wines usually have a stronger, more aggressive aromas, while older wines are generally more subdued and subtle and complex. That kind of reminds me of just like people in general. Like young people just be like vigorous and just aggressive and out here. By the time you get old, you be like, fuck that, I'm chilling.
Right.
More subdued or whatever. But I don't know. Let me see. I guess a middle age. So is it a middle age wine just be busting it open? Because I ain't quite old, but I ain't quite young. So that's the smell. What else you had on your sniff? Okay. As far as inhaling and taking it in. And that might sound excessive, but I do, like, it's real. Because I've caught myself smelling the wine and just been kind of like a little intoxicated before I even sipped it.
Yeah, because I pour it, then I smell it, then I swirl it, then I smell it, then I take my first sip, and then I smell it again. So because, you know, the more you smell it, the more it can trigger things in your mind. You know what I'm talking about?
It's an experience. Y'all gotta say it with my accents. Experience.
Yep. And so my book just goes into the different types of aromas, which you brought up.
Okay.
It brought that there are three types. There's primary, secondary, and tertiary, meaning third. Primary aromas come from your grapes. Each variety has a range of possible aromas. For example, a white wine variety like Sauvignon Blanc can smell like gooseberries. And primary aroma ranges depending on the climate where the wine has been made. So climate, that's your first smell of the grapes. Your secondary aromas comes from the actual winemaking process, specifically the reactions created by the wine yeast and the bacteria. So, for example, the aroma of butter that's found in Chardonnay comes from a special bacteria.
Ooh, then I never knew that, because Chardonnays do be buttery.
They do be. Then your tertiary aromas are the ones that come from the aging process and the controlled interaction with oxygen. So that's why you swirl it. When you're swirling, that's your tertiary aroma. And so, for example, the nutty flavors of a vintage champagne and from sherry are from years and years of aging, darling. And then there's also Wine faults. Wine faults are another aroma, and that lets you know if a wine is good or bad. So if you smell something and it smells oxidized, it smells rancid, depending on how it smells, you could determine exactly what type of wine fault there is.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I got something over here about the wine faults, too.
Yeah, so you want to go into that?
Side one.
Yeah.
The wine faults, basically, because of, like, our technology and stuff these days, the tainted wine is rare, but it still can happen. So things to look out for. A corked wine, in quotes, is caused by a mold in the cork or bark that gives the wine an off flavor. And we kind of... talked in the early episode about if the the cork itself was stale, whatever, that can affect the flavor of your wine.
Right.
So a lot of times the tainted wine can come from the cork. Oxidized wines, as you just mentioned, has been exposed to air too long, giving it a dull brown color and sour flavor. And a vinegary wine has been affected by bacteria, rendering it unpleasant and sharp. So... that kind of plays into when we said something about the color. So if you're looking at wine and it's like brown or not like as vibrant as you would expect, even before you smell it, you might notice by the look, by the color, that it's bad. Tainted wine. I like this word, wine faults.
Yeah, me too. The only other ones that I have are reduction, UV damage, and heat damage. For reduction in wine smells like boiled garlic and cabbage. It says that happens when the wine itself doesn't receive enough oxygen in the bottle. They said, however, decanting can improve the smell, or you could stir it with a pure silver spoon, but I ain't about to do all that.
Who got pure silver spoon?
I know, right? UV damage. That happens when the wine has been sitting under supermarket lighting for too long, or it's been exposed to the sun. And they said avoid light damage by storing your wines in the dark and avoiding shelf-aged bottles. Finally, there's heat damage, also known as cooked wine. And so wine starts to deteriorate quickly at 82 degrees and cooks around 90 degrees Fahrenheit. So cooked wines can smell pleasant like caramel and cooked fruit, but they will taste flat with no beginning, middle, or end. And heat damage can also cause browning. So either way, if your wine is brown, you don't want to drink it.
Mm-mm, you don't want
it. It's either oxidized or heat damage.
So that
means
if the red is too brown, or if the white is like not translucent or vibrant enough, yeah, it's like a tinted brown.
Yeah, so if your white wine, when you pour it, if it looks like, you know, when you leave an apple out too long...
Yeah, or a banana. That's a good way to describe
it. You don't. That'll tell you that it's been oxidized and it's exposed to too much air. So yeah, that's all I have for smell.
That was good. Finish. You good over there?
Yeah,
I'm good. I'm good. To start to round it out. A little side note on the smell was the fact that we use the word aroma and bouquet. And my note says that these terms are sometimes used interchangeably, but technically each has a different meaning. Aroma refers to the smell of a young wine or of the grapes used to make the wine. As the wine matures and the scent becomes more complex, the aroma changes to bouquet. Listen, y'all, we new to this shit. Use them interchangeably, but when you start getting a little more fancy, you can figure it out. But I thought that was interesting because I have used... heard them used interchangeably. And then to round it up is the sip or the conclusion, finish, however you want to describe it. So finally, fill your mouth about one-third full and swish the wine around thoroughly. This causes more aromas to be released into your nasal cavity, which is where the real tasting happens. Now, this is an example of... how all your neck, your mouth, all those things work together. So I used to be wondering when I was young, why was it an ear, nose, and throat doctor until I realized all that shit was connected. Like, you literally do taste something, and depending on how you, like, swish it in your mouth, that smell and stuff goes up into your nose. So this is when the real tasting happens. All those things happen at one time. It also helps the wine reach all parts of your palate to gain a complete impression of the wine. Some people describe this process as chewing the wine as you swallow. Pay attention to how the wine feels in your mouth, how the taste changes as the wine slips down your throat, and how long the wine's flavors linger on your tongue. Mm. So it's a whole process. Think of all, instead of just like open the bottle and gulping it down, if you think of all those things, you're kind of able to get those feelings and those tastes that we kind of describe as we're doing our wine reviews. Like whether we realize it or not, we're considering all those things as we taste and evaluate the wine. You got anything to add to that one?
I have quite a few things, darling. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. When you're tasting, try to pick out at least 3 fruit flavors and 3 other flavors, one at a time. That's for the first thing.
Oh, that's a good idea. Because sometimes yeah. I be tasting stuff and I be thinking, but I don't always know what to think first. But right. if I got kind of a guideline, that could help.
The second thing is identify. It says identify where the basic wine traits hit your palate. So sweetness is located towards the front of your tongue.
Oh my God! Literally, when you were saying that, I was like touching the tip of my tongue. Like I think it's at the front.
Let's see. Acidity makes your mouth water. And if you kind of think about it, like when you have water with lemon, it makes your mouth water even more. Mm-hmm. So it makes you drink more water. Tannin is textural and it dries your mouth out like a wet tea bag. And then the last thing is alcohol feels like heat in the back of your throat. So the higher the alcohol content, the more heat you're going to feel. So that's why your body okay. feels warm and all that stuff. Also, it mentions profile. It says, try to organize the flavors and aromas by their category. For example, if you taste vanilla, it might be due to the oak. And so different flavor profiles are oak, yeast, earth, dried, black, red, and herb flower. I ain't doing all of that. But that's what it says that you can do in the book. But then the last thing I did want to mention is that it says that wine evolves on your palate. So the lighter the body, the longer mm-hmm. it will linger on your palate. Whereas the mm-hmm. fuller the body, the shorter it will linger. And I thought that was pretty cool. So if it's a full body, oh. you'll taste it heavier in the front end and it'll diminish in the back end. Whereas if it's in a lighter body, you won't necessarily get a full taste in the front, but you'll taste it longer and you feel it more on the back end. So it'll have a higher finish. So.
Oh, that's a good way to understand it. And I'm looking at go ahead.
I was going to say also, it says there's super tasters. Super taster is someone whose tongue is hypersensitive, so you could taste 30 okay. or more taste buds. So you taste everything. So like I was joking when I mentioned that umami is technically that fifth taste, but you'll taste everything, meaning you'll taste salty, sweet, sour, oily, and bitter when you're tasting. And it says that Asians, African Americans, South Americans, and women are more likely to be super tasters. So because we're black women, we have hypersensitive tongues.
Sip or spit.
So that may explain why our less melanated brothers and sisters can't really handle a lot of spices.
That's probably why they can't do the spices. They done stole all the damn spices, brought us to this country, now they don't even use the shit. I don't get it.
Yeah, because you guys don't have you have non-sensitive right? tongues. So you taste less than 15 taste buds. So if you taste, if it's too much spice, it's overwhelming.
So your big mama be seasoning that chicken up. She got a skill.
Hey, there's a reason why Cecil keep coming over on Sundays. You know what I'm talking about? Because she is super taster.
The only thing I wanted to add to that as far as the finish it out with the body, it's kind of similar to what you said, but it's the body and the finish. And another way to look at the body is a wine's body is the feeling of substance it forms in your mouth. Described in terms of weight, fullness, or texture. So if you kind of think of those words. And if you taste enough wines, you can feel that something tastes kind of heavy or whatever. Body or mouth feel. You can use that word, mouth feel. Oh my goodness, that's making me think of How to Get Away with Murder. That made me think of Olivia, the mouth acting.
Olivia got the mouth. She has a hypersensitive.
I said she must have told Annalise some shit this week because Annalise was mouth acting this week. But the body or mouth feel can be understood on a spectrum from it said from skim milk, a light bodied wine, to heavy cream. So that's the way to associate it. Like if you think of if you're a milk drinker. And I thought that was a good way to parallel it.
I would say from a scale of Twizzlers to Red Vines.
That's so random but accurate. Twizzlers don't be having no flavor.
None at
all. Why y'all eat Twizzlers?
Why y'all?
I'm just eating red licorice. That's like don't cheese. Got no flavor.
That's like cheese nips and Cheez-Its. It's a difference.
Like I don't get it. And then it says the finish, and we discussed finish before. The length of time the wine's aftertaste lingers on your tongue is called its finish. Wines with lingering aftertaste or long finishes are thought to be a better quality than those with little or no finish, but in truth, it depends on the style of wine that you're drinking. So longer finish doesn't necessarily mean it's good or bad or better. I mean, good or bad, but just, you know, kind of like with everything that we're saying, it don't always like high alcohol, low alcohol, you know, the shit can interchange. All these things could be like, can be found in different wines. So you got to evaluate the ones that work for you. But yeah, so I like this little evaluating the wine. Like most people just think of like, oh, let's pour the wine and drink it. But you can think, if you think of all these things, it's like a much more pleasant experience, and then you can kind of pay more attention to your experience, and it'll help you make future choices of what you kind of like to enjoy.
Yeah, and it, like you said, the more information that you have and the more time you take to go through the actual overall experience, it'll help you be a better wine buyer because you'll know exactly what to look for based on your prior tasting experiences. It won't just be random. You'll know based on how it looks if you're going to like it or not.
So even so, and you know, as you taste around, how we said, make sure you kind of, if you act like a knowledgeable wine person, the more you pay attention, you might not know your whole flavor profile, but you might know, oh, I tend to like those lighter ones, those lighter bodied ones, or I tend to like the ones that smell this way, or whatever, whatever. And then that could help inform future selections.
Right.
So that's good.
So you know what? It'll help you save money in the long run. So pay attention
and
to tasting.
And if you're like us, we just like to learn shit and be like, oh, that's what you mean?
Yeah. So pay attention to those olfactory senses, y'all. Help to create good memories for yourself.
Right? You ain't learning.
Yep. So I think that's it for our topic of the week, right? That was a good one.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
See, you ain't just getting only foolishness and ratchetness on here. You getting sophistication, y'all. You getting edumacation. Because, you know, we believe in higher edumacation. So, now that is done, that brings us to another part of our show, which is a fan favorite. Of our network head, Honcho Classic. So we're going to go ahead and get into this wine, slide up in this wine hotel right fast.
Hey.
Pull it up. This week we do have a live wine.
Is it my turn to read or yours?
I think it's my turn to read. So we do have a wine hotel this week provided by one of our very good wine hosts. Please be sure that you are sending us wine hotels and leaving us voicemails so we can continue.
Yeah, we need some in the inbox.
Yeah, go ahead. Dive in our DM. Ooh, I'm about to dive. This is the only time you can hit us up in the DMs. You're sending us wine hotels, okay? Tell us it's on the way. But this wine hotel starts like this. Let's just get right into it. It was a crisp August night, and a few friends decided we were going to relive our old HBCU days. We decided
Happy Black History Month, okay. Even though it's over.
We decided to have this gathering and then head over to the east side. Hear another east side tale. This ain't gonna end well. Turn up spot.
Why everybody be in the east side of their town?
Right. So two bottles of Remy, two bottles of Hennessy, and one bottle of Amsterdam were popping. And we were enjoying the peppermint hookah, and a few Hennessy dipped cigars were filling the air. So now it's the
appropriate. This some niggerish shit.
Nigger. Hello. Not even the Hennessy told me that. The fact that it was Amsterdam and not Grey Goose told me it's a nigga function.
They had a budget. They was like, we got to get to Amsterdam.
Let's see. So now it's the appropriate time of 11:30 to head over to the turn up. Oh, Lord. We were doing fine, but as soon as we walked in and over to the bar, we ordered Long Islands and Henny and Coke. Well, the bartender wanted a great dip and tip, and oh, did she deserve it. The Henny and Coke was one ice cube, and the Long Island was just long. Woo! We hit the dance floor.
Why have I never described the Long Island as long? Man. Now, I need to get me one.
This is a safari island. That's what it is. That's the name of the show, damn it, Safari. We hit the dance floor and hit the Baltimore two-step and killed Juvenile's Bag That Ass Up. Yes.
Hey, who wrote this story? I didn't even see who this tale came from. They hit the Baltimore two-step. I know that two-step very well.
Living. But that's where things go left. Two out of the six of us were together, and we have lost one good brother, and two of the girls are in the bathroom giving makeup tips, and the last member outside getting hosed. So the one I'm with goes to look for the lost one.
Oh, I just realized, I wasn't looking at the actual email, I was looking at the notes. I just realized who this wine hotel came from. Mess. Go
ahead. Needless to say, he became security for the club, LOL, but my friend left me with a guy named Paul. Apparently, I gave Paul my number, and he knew the situation of the lost friends. So on the way home at an early 1 a.m., too old for this shit, I started to feel all the good spirits come up.
Ooh.
The friend pulls over and damn near throws me out of the car. We finally make it back to the house where, for some reason, I needed his shoes. So he gave me them. But the next thing I knew, I was on the ground, twisted up, and no damn shoes. Like, how? I mean, friend, did you throw me to the ground with shoes on your feet? Long night for about 2 hours. Lord, we ended the night back at the house where my homie and I shared the bed. Somehow, I'm rolled up in the blanket, and he was left on the corner of the bed with no covers. Oh, well.
Oh, did you realize she inserted a picture?
Uh-uh. I didn't see it.
Oh, in the actual email, in the parentheses, after she said something about throwing the shoes down, it says insert pic here. I just went to the email. There's a picture.
Oh, my God.
You have to look at the picture.
I'll look at it. Before L, he had awoken screaming, damn whore. I'm freezing over here, and you have all the damn covers. Shit. As he walks to the bathroom to throw up. But being the great friend I am, I shared the covers, and we went right back to sleep. The next day, Paul calls asking, did you find your friend? To sum it up, we all realize that those were the days and we will cherish them. But for now, we will stick to the lounges, wine, and knowing our limits. Thanks, BNB. No, thank you for the tale.
We appreciate that. Not only thank you for the
tale,
thank you for being the first person to include a picture. Because I would like So-So to analyze this picture really quick.
I'm about to pull it up.
Because I was like, hold up. She inserted a picture. I did not even realize she inserted the picture. I just saved the email. I didn't, I totally forgot who sent it. I just knew somebody sent it.
Let me see. Yo!
She don't got on those shoes. Ooh. She's on the ground.
And her friends ain't shit for taking a picture, but shout out to them old Navy jeans she rocking. I know them. Them sweetheart joints, ain't they, big?
This is hilarious. Ooh. It's even more hilarious that I saved it and forgot, and I know the person in the picture.
Wow. Man, it'd be your own friends, man. It'd be your own friends.
Because I was like, HBCU, okay, niggas went to HBCUs, but when she hit the Baltimore two-step, I said, hold up, do I know her?
Shout out to our wine hoe for this tale, man. That was good. Well, shit, you know, what's next? My favorite part of the show. Wine hoe trivia.
And this one is like, it's super, well, I mean, it's easy regardless, but I like to do a little callback. And the only way we learn is to reemphasize shit that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking about today's topic, I realized that we already answered this question today. So that's fine. But let's just do it anyway. Vocabulary. What are tannins? A, an artificial wine coloring. Nope. B, a puckering taste in the wine. C, a deep red color, or D, a cluster of grapes that have darkened in the sun.
Nigga, no.
And even before the topic of the day, I know we know the answer, but I like to reemphasize some of the trivia to the wine.
You said, what are tannins?
Tannins.
Okay. Tannins. Tannins is what gives you that drying taste. So let me do my contact clues. Hold on.
So just as much as you're starting to love the wine trivia, I'm loving how you break down the answers. A, an artificial wine coloring.
No.
B, a puckering taste in the wine.
Mm-hmm.
C, a deep red color.
No.
Or D, a cluster of grapes that have darkened in the sun.
That's that puckering, my nigga. That's that.
It's the puckering. So the answer is B. Bum, 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 bum. She Ooh. Got it, of course. tannins add structure to red wine, so the taste doesn't slip away in your mouth. The feeling they produce is often described as similar to what black tea does to your mouth. Cabernet often has a lot of tannins. Tannins are naturally occurring part of the wine and comes mainly from the stems and the seeds of the grapes. So I thought that was good, because since we were talking about evaluating the wine, I wanted to emphasize thinking about the tannins as the way to describe it. So when we talked about that, the sipping and how it feels in your mouth, the tannins is something you should kind of think of with that feel in your mouth.
There you go.
Whether it puckers or not.
I hope you guys got the question right. That means that you were listening and paying attention. If not, that you need to go ahead and listen again.
If we on episode 18 and you ain't figured out what tannins is yet, you might be slipping.
Congratulations. You played yourself. Yeah. So that brings us to pretty much the end of our show, where we settle the tab, y'all. We just breathe. This show was a breeze.
it was such a breeze, but fun. Like, fun-filled and jam-packed with information. But
yeah,
we might be getting good at this bit.
Yes. So, we do have a website that is badandboozy.com, and that is where you will see additional things that you will not see on our social media. That's where you will find our blog, and that's where you will find all the links to all our other places where we at, okay? We also have a voicemail. Call us and leave us a voicemail. You can leave us a wine hotel. You could leave us a review. You could just tell us how much you love us. Or you could just tell us, you know what? I'm drunk as fuck. I don't know what to do. You know, call
I'm
us.
I'm waiting for the nigga. Y'all need to save us in your phone and just drunk dollars.
Right. Instead of calling that nigga or that woman, go ahead and call us.
Call us.
We call can me now. Call me now. Let's see. We also have a Teespring shop where you can go ahead and purchase apparel. You can purchase bags, your Bad and Boozy bags, your wine hole bags, and we also have mugs. We got a hella bad and hella boozy mug. We have a wine hole mug, and we also have a logo mug. So go ahead and purchase those. And every purchase that you make helps to keep the podcast free and make sure that we have enough wine and beer and liquor to review for y'all. There's also the PayPal. We mentioned that this week's wine was sponsored by one of our wine hosts. So if you want to go ahead and send us some money and put some respect on it, go ahead and send it to paypal.me/badandboozypod. Then we also are a part of the CSPN. If you want to find out more information about our podcast, as well as the other podcasts like the Rasslecast, Comic Book Chronicles, Classic Team Up, you know, our personal faves, Crown and Collars, go ahead and visit the website. You could also read our bios and find out more additional information about us that you may not already know. While you're there, go ahead and click on the link to become a patron. And that's so that you have access to the Patreon, which gives you additional content that you're not going to find on the regular feed. So if you want to hear our review of going to Wakanda and other things, you want to go ahead and visit, click there and become a patron, where you could pay $1, $3, or $5 a month and get all the content that you can handle. Go ahead and visit us at cspn.us for that information. As far as where you can find us, you can find our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. We're on all those platforms, as well as Podcast Addict. So everywhere where your other favorite podcasts are, we are there also. Make sure that you are subscribing to us. And if you're on Stitcher and you subscribe, please feel free to leave us a review so we can read it on the show. Leave us a review, man. We ain't had a review since January. All Black History Month, ain't nobody leave us a review. What y'all been doing?
And now it's Women's History Month.
Yes.
Come on, Ann. Yes. Women's History Month. And then our birthday is coming up.
Yeah, man. Aries season comes soon. And that's what we want.
Aries season.
Gang, gang, gang. And then as far as following us individually, myself, Sadiddy Snack, you can find me at Fab Fresh and Fly on Delectable.
She will return to who she used to be next week. I don't
maybe.
Know.
On Delectable, Instagram, and Twitter, I am Fab Fresh and Fly. So that's where you can find me. And you can find DeAsia at...
You can find me on those same platforms, Delectable, Twitter, and Instagram at Brains and Buns. And, you know, interact with us, interact with the show, whatever. And I just want y'all to know that I've been putting some fire reviews on Delectable, so I just
fire.
Want y'all to come over there.
Hot fire. Because your man's not hot.
It's about to be like spring and shit, so my joint about to be loaded because a nigga been drinking.
Okay. All right, so there it is, man.
Did we say the show account?
Oh, the show account, duh. Y'all like the show?
No, I was about to say it, because I can remember which one to say.
And we got an update, because we said on the last episode that we wanted to get to 100 followers on Twitter, and bitch, we had 100 motherfucking followers on Twitter. The episode ain't even came out yet, and y'all already answered the call. So, damn it, thank you.
Yes.
We are 260 strong on Instagram. So, if you're not following us on Instagram.
Niggas low-key be, like, interacting. I mean, we've been getting love on all the platforms, but niggas been on the Instagram.
All of them. So, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Bad and Boozy Pod. That's and is spelled out. It's A-N-D. It's not an ampersand. It's not an N. It's A-N-D. Okay?
So, and don't forget that when you hashtag in the show, because some people have been using Bad and Boozy Podcast. And we haven't been finding it, but that's
boozy.
Fine.
Yeah, so make sure that
bad
you use
Bad and Boozy Pod. Hashtag.
Yes, hashtag. Okay? So, that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Bad and Poozy. I was going to say Bad and Poozy. Pussy. Bad and Poozy.
You know we like flies over here.
Okay, we love flies. Flies is the national treasure, and we must protect him at all costs. But anyways, thank you for listening to another episode, a quick, brief episode of Bad and Boozy Podcast. We hope that you got the content that you desired from us. You know what? We had to make up for giving y'all that Baptist episode last time.
That's fine.
Y'all listened to it, too. So,
they be listening, and I'm not going to front a couple people who kind of like hit you on a low. They was like, oh, no, that's fine. I just want to hear. I'm like, oh, all right.
So, we ready. And shout out to Beyonce for posting on Instagram talk about 44 days to Coachella and it's vegan time. Beyonce about to snatch my edges and I shall moisturize them appropriately.
Y'all better get y'all castor oil together.
Get it together. So yeah, that's it. Episode 18 is a wrap. Thank you for listening to Safari Island. And as always, the best wine
is the one you like.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.